Well, we are continuing over these summer weeks our series in looking at the Lord's Prayer. If you were here a couple of weeks ago, you'll have heard Andrew Dan speak about praising God using the first clause, Our Father who art in heaven. And then last week, I unpacked a little bit about what it is to pray when we pray for the kingdom. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And today we move on to the third part, which is give us this day our daily bread. What do we mean? What is it we are asking for when we pray that prayer? Now, we may not, and I suspect most of us don't, pray literally for bread, but I suspect that for many of us, a lot of our prayer is filled with asking for things, praying about people, situation, wants, and desires. We might pray about new jobs or about possessions or success or our children's success or healing or health. Things that we might call wealth, health and happiness. Jesus tells us to pray for our daily bread. And so is it right that we pray for all of those things too? Well, I think the answer is yes and no. We are, of course, called to pray for every aspect of our lives. But what is it that Jesus tells us to pray? He says, give us today our daily bread. Give us today our daily bread. At the time of the Exodus, the people of Israel learnt this in a very real way. You may remember that what happened was that after all the plagues, Pharaoh let the people go, Moses led them across the Red Sea, and at last they were free from hundreds of years of slavery. But they left behind everything that had been their security. Even though they were slaves, they had had food and somewhere to live in Egypt, and that was all gone. And they start almost immediately crying out for food, saying we were better off when we were in Egypt. And so God provides for them manna from heaven. But what does he say to them? He provides this manna and he says, gather enough just for today. If you gather more than that, it will go moldy. So what happens? The people go out, but they're human, and they decide that actually there's quite a lot there, so why don't we store some for tomorrow? And the effect is just as God said. It went moldy. You see, their greed in wanting to hoard overtook what God wanted of them. And they saw that instead of having something good provided for them each and every day, which God did, what they had went moldy. You see, Jesus teaches us to pray for our daily bread, the thing that we need, not the thing that we want. And there's a big difference between wants and needs. And yet, despite that, many of us, and you know, we live in the affluent Western part of the world, and we fall into the trap of thinking that our lives are all about bigger and better things, bigger and better homes, clothes, money, what we earn, status, the list could go on. A society which equates possessions and stuff with happiness and the true meaning of life. But what does Jesus say in verse 15? Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. The Message version often speaks plainly. It says this: life is not defined by what you have, even when you have a lot. Life is not defined by what you have, even when you have a lot. I wonder how many of us have thought that that next thing in life will actually bring us greater happiness. You know, that new job, that promotion, that pay rise, a bit of extra work, a new car, an extension to our house, whatever it may be. If only I get that, then I'll be that little bit happier. Well, the parable of the rich fool that Peter just read to us, I find a really challenging passage for us in our society, because it goes completely against the grain of how most of us live and certainly how people in the West lives. He gives a different picture, doesn't he, to what we are used to, a picture of trust in a provider God in all circumstances, a picture that echoes what he taught in the Lord's Prayer, give us today our daily bread. So let's have a look at that. If you've closed your Bibles, perhaps you'd like to open them again on page 1044, Luke 12, beginning at verse 13. So Jesus is talking to the crowds, and someone in the crowd we see says to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." The brother had inherited, and his brother wanted his share of the money. Now, there's nothing wrong with wanting that dispute sorted out, but usually, today would be true as well, it would be done in private rather than in public. You would perhaps go and see a lawyer. In the time of Jesus, people would have gone to see the rabbi to get this sorted out. And so, by making this point in front of the crowd, this guy was appearing greedy and self-seeking. And so Jesus illustrates that by telling this parable. And the parable is quite simple, isn't it? There's been a rich guy who's had a good year. His crops have done well, and he has nowhere to store them. He's got lots of options. You know, he could give away the excess to those in need. He could have given a call to the food bank or the soup kitchen or whatever it was in his day. But what does he do? What does he do? It's all about himself. He says, "I know what I'll do. I'll knock down my barns and I'll build bigger barns. Then I can store all this excess. And what can I do then? I can just enjoy my life. I can sit back. Retirement's going to be great because I've got a good investment for me." And what does Jesus say? Verse 20. God said to him, "You fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" The Message puts it even more plainly. It simply says this: fool, tonight you die. You see, we all will have to answer to God. We can build bigger barns, literal or metaphorical. We can store. Our barns might be in the bank, they might be in property, they might be in possessions, I don't know. But one day, we will die. And it will all be left. And what Jesus is trying to say here is that our possessions, our wealth, will ultimately count for nothing. He wants us to know that this man was living for the moment. He was enjoying the fruits of his success, but he wasn't concerned about others. And he certainly wasn't seeking the Lord and praying for his daily bread. He was insuring himself against the future. He wasn't blessing others. He wasn't putting the kingdom first. It was all about him. No understanding of anyone else or their situation. So then, how might this help us? How might this challenge help us when we pray, "Give us today our daily bread"? Well, the first thing I think is fairly clear from this, isn't it? That it is so easy for us to build bigger barns. We've recently had some work done in the vicarage. Those of you who know about church things will know about quinquennial inspections of buildings and vicarages. And the effect of that was we had to empty out all of our kitchen cupboards. And what surprised us was that in the 9 years that we have lived in the vicarage, we started taking things out of our cupboards that probably hadn't been out of them for 9 years. Things that we have stored because actually they might be useful one day. I can see lots of you are smiling because you know that is true yourself. The fact is that we have stuff stored not just in our kitchen, but in our house, probably in almost every cupboard, stuff we will probably never use. And I suspect amongst us in this room, there'll be a lot of stuff, wouldn't there? We may not actually build bigger barns, but we hoard. We put things in cupboards, in garages, in sheds, and even today in storage units. We hire space because we don't have enough. We don't rely on God for our daily bread, and our own but we rely on our own ability to store up for the future. But the parable says, doesn't it, tonight you die. Whether that's actually tonight, and I hope not for most of us, for all of us, it's in a long time to come, the reality is it will happen. And all our possessions will be nothing to us then. You see, what Jesus wants is not for us to build bigger barns and store stuff. What he wants us to do is to come to him and to rely on him. He suggests an alternative. That when we pray, give us today our daily bread, we pray that we might live in a kingdom kind of way, the sort of way I was talking about last week. For those who weren't here, what is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is everything that we see in heaven, the perfection of heaven, breaking through into our earthly existence, into our human existence. And so when we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth, and then give us today our daily bread, we're praying that the perfection of heaven might be a reality in our world, that we might rely on all the blessings of God's kingdom today and in the future. And as we work for the kingdom, so we see the kingdom multiply. As we give to the kingdom of our time, our talents, and our money, we see the kingdom grow. So instead of seeking to build and hoard, might we give and extend to the work of the kingdom? Might we keep less and give more? Might we share those things that you, like me, have got in your cupboards that you know you don't need? Might you share them? Might you sort them out? Give them to charity? Give them to some good cause? Might we give more of our money instead of just locking it away in the bank? There are many different causes. Might we give more of our money to God's church? Might we give more of our time instead of being on this constant whirl of seeking and growing and extending and building for ourselves, more of our time for the kingdom of God? You see, Jesus says to us that when we pray, give us today our daily bread, that we say, Lord, I want to trust in you as my provider, God. Because when we read on beyond today's passage, the next paragraph is headed, do not worry. Jesus goes on to say, do not worry about your life, about what you will eat, or your body, or what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. And he goes on to say that he, God, will provide all things. So you see, God is saying to us, don't store, but trust. Trust for the future. Trust about what you will eat, about what you will wear, about what you look like. If we learn to live with less, if we learn to give more, if we learn to seek him for the things that matter, then we will see more of his work in our lives, providing and enabling us with what we need. So today, as we pray, and we will do in a little bit, give us today our daily bread. What will that mean to you? What challenge does it pose in your life? What might you need to do in response to this? How might you need to reshape your life a little bit in order to focus more on the kingdom and to live in the kind of way that Jesus calls us to? Let's just be quiet for a moment or two as we ask the Lord to search our hearts and to speak to us as individuals. And then I'll pray.